This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 232.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about what to do when clients or customers say they can't afford you. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to let you know about my online PR course, Soulful PR for Starters. So this is my 8-week online course, which will teach you everything you need to know about how to get coverage in newspapers, magazines, and on radio and TV. It's not on sale all year round, but as this episode goes live, so this is February 2018, if you're listening in the future, it will be on sale for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And in this course, you'll learn everything you need to know about getting coverage in newspapers, magazines, and on radio and TV. So you'll learn what journalists are looking for and what they're not. You'll learn how to put a really great pitch or press release together. You'll learn how to find journalist contact details, how to really make the most of any coverage that you do get. And there's also some really fab bonus modules on newsjacking, which means picking up on topical news stories and using that to get press coverage for your business. A special unit on PR for social media managers and marketers who want to offer traditional PR as an additional service. There's an additional module on dealing with negativity and criticism, which doesn't happen very often, but it is useful to know about that. And also some really, really nice interviews with journalists talking about what they're looking for. So from the Huffington Post and the Guardian, Marie Claire publications like that. I also do a couple of live coaching calls at the beginning and at the end. So they're group coaching calls. So you'll get a chance to talk to me, to ask me questions and to be quite specific in what you want. But if you're somebody that really feels that you need accountability and you need that kind of feeling of having somebody to check in with and to make sure that you actually get all of this done, then this time around, I'm offering a VIP option. So I'm offering a small group the chance to work through the course with me with some group coaching, some one-to-one coaching to make sure you actually get it done. And another thing to mention actually about what we cover in the course is how to get journalists to come to you rather than you going and pitching to them all the time. So how to get coverage really without having to pitch for it, which is perfectly possible to do and actually can be easier than spending all your time writing press releases and coming up with pitches for journalists. So if that sounds of interest, I will put a link in the show notes. Happy to answer any questions that you've got on that. It's called Soulful PR for Starters, and it's not on sale all the time. And this time round, we're kicking off on March the 5th. You can work through the resources at any time that you want, but what I tend to do is kind of run it through live and release the content one session a week so that I can kind of support you and make sure that you're actually kind of getting things done and you can ask me questions as you go. We do have a dedicated Facebook group as well. So it's not open all the time. So if it's something that you're thinking you're interested in, then you do need to jump on board right now. And of course, there's that VIP option as well if you'd like to work more closely with me and to get personalized advice and have the benefit of working with a group and get some accountability. So I'll stick that in the show notes for you. And now let's get on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about what to do when prospective customers or clients say, I can't afford you. So the first thing to say on this is that when someone says that they can't afford your products or services, it doesn't mean you're too expensive. Because after all, what's expensive to one person might actually be as cheap as chips to another. So when someone says, I can't afford it, what it really means is that you're too expensive for them right now, or that they don't see they'll get a return on investment. So I'm just going to repeat that again. If somebody says that your products or services are too expensive, it means you're either too expensive for them right now, or they don't see that they'll get a return on their investment. And the best time to deal with the I can't afford it objection is actually before your prospective customers or clients even raise it. I'm going to share some tips with you on how you can do that. So first off, you need to make sure that your price matches your audience. So if you've ever been told that your products or services are too expensive, they're not. It may just be that you're pricing too high for the prospective customers or clients that you've got in your audience right now. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've got a pricing problem. It may actually mean you just don't have enough of the right kind of people in your audience to buy it right now. And if that is the situation, you've got two options. You can either try and attract more of the right customers into your audience, so more people who can afford your product or services, or you can create something new for the people that you currently have in your audience, or you can do both. Now, this is something that I've been actually working through at the moment because I've been developing my first mastermind program. So if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that at the heart of everything I do is my membership community, the Soulful PR Studio. And this is where I work with small business owners to help them learn how to promote their business more effectively. And we do that through content, through blogging and vlogging, through email marketing, through social media, and also through press. But what I noticed towards the end of last year is that some of my clients were starting to outgrow my membership. And they'd worked through a lot of the content, they'd got a lot of the concepts locked down, and they were starting to make real progress. And I could see that I needed to create a next step for them. And I'll be quite honest that I'm not someone who's ever sort of considered or ever really wanted to kind of do that whole big coaching program thing. Like, you know, some people kind of love that. That's the heart of what they do, doing one-to-one or small group coaching all the time. And actually, that's never been something that I've really, really wanted to do. But at the same time, I could see that I had customers and clients that I was really enjoying working with who, if I didn't come up with something for them for their next step, they were probably going to leave my membership. So I've been working over the last few months to try and work out what would be the right next step for my audience. Now, I'm a big fan of testing. So if you have a product or service that you want to put out there, or you've got a new offering, I believe that you shouldn't spend loads of money on sales pages and beautiful design. I think you should just kind of get out there and make your offer and see what happens so you can tweak and get it right. And that's exactly what I did. So the first thing I did was I put together a basic, very, very basic sales page, which outlined what I thought should be covered in a coaching program for the next step for my membership. Now, I had some people who immediately said, that sounds brilliant. I want to join you. I really, really want to work with you. But I also got quite a lot of questions. And in fact, I got quite a lot of resistance, in fact, from some of the people in my membership. And in fact, some of them were even to the point of being a little bit rude about it. So instead of kind of taking offense, I thought, okay, what can I learn from this? What's going on here? So I asked questions. So I've been jumping on Skype calls with some of my clients. I've been asking questions. I've been trying to dig a little bit deeper. And what I learned was that some of my customers weren't earning as much as I thought they were. So I went out with a top-end offer and a middle offer for my membership. And what I realized through that conversation is that they weren't earning as much as, or many of them weren't earning as much as it appeared on the surface. So my offer seemed very, very high for them and it felt like too much of a big step. So I went away and I had a tweak and I had a play around and I came up with something else. And so I went back and said, what do you think about this? Do you think this is a bit more the kind of thing that you were looking for? And I got some feedback on that. And again, I still had that same group of people who were absolutely desperate to get on the program. When can I start? And then I still had some resistance and I still had some questions. And my members were saying things like, because one thing that I feel really, really strongly about is that you shouldn't undercharge and you shouldn't underprice yourself. So my group programs that I was running a few years back, and these were specifically on how to get press coverage, I was charging £600 a month for people to take part in those coaching programs. And what my members were saying to me, they were saying, well, we want you to charge less. We want you to offer something that's less. But I'm like, well, I don't really want to charge less than what I was charging 2 years ago, even for a beta program, even for something that I'm doing for the first time, because that devalues my skills and my expertise. I know so much more than I did back then. I've got so much experience. I've done all the things that you want to do. And I think I wouldn't be setting you a good example if I was to drop my prices, even for a beta program. But nevertheless, I could hear what they were saying and I was listening and think, okay, what do I need to do in order to help these people? Okay, I can't say, okay, I'll give you the same program for half the price. I can't do that. That's not good for anybody in this situation. But maybe what I could do is come up with an offering that's maybe I don't give as much contact time, but it's still as valuable and really kind of meets their need. So I went away again. So this was my third attempt to try and get the program right. And I sat down over a weekend and I plotted out all of the things that I thought, what is this really about? What is this program really about? These masterminds that I want to do. It's not just about masterminding and small group coaching and helping people move along. I thought, essentially, this is about helping people to earn more money or to make more money in their business. And so from the conversations that I had, initially I'd started out thinking that I had some people in my group who were trying to develop a six-figure business. And what I learned from those conversations is that actually there was a group who wanted to get to 50K. And there was also a group, which I'm still thinking about, who are nowhere near that. So I was trying to think, what are the sort of milestones that people want to get to? And is there a way that I could communicate this more effectively? So I sat down one weekend and I wrote down all of the things that I thought that you needed to be doing in your business to get to 50K. Then I made a list of all of the things that I thought you needed to be doing in your business to get to 100K, to a six-figure business. And I sort of worked out there were four key areas that you needed to be working on in order to really kind of accelerate your business. The first one is money. So getting your prices right, getting your products and services right, making sure you're charging what you're worth and all of that. The second area is audience. So building up an audience, and particularly lots of my clients at the higher end, they want to create passive income. So they want to have products and services that they can basically sell while they're asleep. And you can't do that unless you have an audience. The next area was authority. So particularly if you want to sell online, if you've got a course or a program you want to sell online, if you're a nobody, and I don't mean that in a kind of negative way, I just mean that if people don't know who you are, if you don't have any online presence or authority or people recommending you, then it's very hard to sell that kind of thing. So you do need to work really hard on building up your audience and getting known in your industry or sector, getting known online. And the last area is visibility. So that's where press comes in. That's where speaking at events, appearing on podcasts, blogs, all of that kind of stuff comes in. And I actually worked out that I thought there were sort of different activities that were leading you more towards the 50K level than there were to 100K. And I sat down and I plotted that all out. So from that, I have come up with the idea of two programs. So I have my basic membership, which is now £378 a year. And now I've got two groups and they're going to be starting in early March. If you're listening in the future, that's early March 2018. So I've got my Rising Talent group. So this is my group that are working towards earning 50K. And I've got my Top Talent program. And this is the big hitters, the ones that are either aiming to get to six figures and beyond this year, or they are already beyond that, but they're trading time for money and they're looking for ways to create passive income in their business, which means they need to take a few steps back really to go forward so they can get all of that in place. So another thing I'm working on at the moment is for my current members is to look at what the milestones might be for them. So for them, it might be hitting their first 1K a month and then hitting their first 2K a month. And I'm looking at how I could plot that out in a similar way so people could see that there's a progression. Now, I tell you all of that, that's a very long-winded explanation, but I tell you all of that for a reason. This is about your products and services, like matching your audience. What I realized through that process is that I didn't yet have enough of the big hitters in my audience. What I wanted to do was put on a top-end program with a retreat and all bells and whistles. And what I realized through my research is that I didn't yet have enough, or I don't yet have enough of those really high-end big hitters in my group to go for those kind of programs. I think people were a bit scared by the content. They were a bit scared by the prices. So I came up with a way that I could offer something at a price point that was doable. So my Rising Talent is going to be about £300 a month and my Top Talent is £600 a month. So I did actually put that kind of mid offer in for people that's affordable for people who are getting to that 50K mark. But I created a program that meant that I wasn't dropping my prices. I was actually just organizing things or structuring things differently so that people would still get the same outcome, but I wouldn't be having to put in as much time and feel that I was giving away my time and my expertise for less than it's worth. Because I'm sure you know as well as I do, if you feel that you are doing that, you can end up feeling resentful, because I think all of us want to be valued for our time, for our experience. I've been doing business online for about 5 years now. I've learned an awful lot. I've achieved an awful lot. And I think that my time is worth it. So I share that because I think if people are telling you, and this was happening to me, your programs are too expensive, it's not generally that they're too expensive. It's just that people can't afford them right now, or it's that you're not offering the right things to the right people. So you may need to do what I just described there, some tweaking, some testing, some conversations. I was jumping on Skype with people. I was going back and forth with people on email, but it's not generally about you. I think most of us actually probably undercharge. I know that I still undercharge a little bit in some areas. It's an area that I need to work on. So when someone says to me they can't afford my products and services, I know that it's not that. It's that they're not in that situation right now. So one of the things I'm doing in my membership, for example, is to help my members. So as I say, I'm creating some guidelines, some markers to help them to get to certain milestones, like their first 1K month, their first 2K month. I think, well, if I want to help my members to progress onto these more advanced programs where I can work with them one-to-one much more closely, then I need to help them. I need to put some structures in place to help them to make the money to be able to afford that. So I share that. I mean, that was quite detailed, but I think it's probably quite a relevant example of it's easy to kind of get knocked back when somebody says to you, you're too expensive. But actually, instead of immediately thinking, oh, they must be right, I'm not worth it, I'm not good enough, actually just to take a step back and think, no, I am good enough, but maybe I'm not offering the right things to the right people. And I think it's really also worth sharing at this stage as well, is that we all make mistakes. I'm making mistakes every single day. Like, I've been doing business online for 5 years. I'm very open. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'll know that I share lots of my process. I make mistakes every single day, but every time I make a mistake, I learn something from it that I can put into practice and it helps me to get better. And I've been reading Gary Vaynerchuk's book, Crushing It, recently. And there's a lovely line in the beginning of that where he says it's much better. I'm just paraphrasing this and I might have got this wrong, but this is kind of the gist of it. But he says something like, it's better to try 10 times and get it right 3 times than not to try at all. And that's just so true. Like, everything that I've learned in my business is through trying things, sometimes getting them right first time, but a lot of the time not getting it right first time and tweaking and testing. And then that means next time I can go in confidently, securely, knowing that something's going to work. So I hope that's helpful on the products or prices front. It's generally not about you. It's about your audience or your customers, but there are obviously things that you can do about it. Okay, so number two, another way that you can deal with that objection, I can't afford it, is to create content that explains your prices. So to give you another example, with my live events, so I run 2 big live events a year, Soulful PR Live, which is where I get 8 national journalists in a room with 80 small business owners for the day so that they can explain what they're looking for, what they're not looking for, and all of that, and how to pitch effectively. The other one is Your Year in PR, which is my content planning masterclass, where I help to map out your content ideas for your blog or vlog, if you have one, for your email marketing, for your social media, for your press for the coming year. And we usually hold that in November. Now, a common objection that I get is your events are too expensive. Now, hand on heart, I actually think they're not expensive enough. So we start generally with our early bird at about £250 per day. We do run it over 2 days and we have a special price for a ticket. I think it's about £350 for a basic ticket over 2 days. We feed everybody. We give really nice food. We always give a beautiful goodie bag. We also have a lovely workbook. We give a lot of information. If you've been to one of my events, you'll know that we give you a lot of information beforehand, down to pictures of which exit to leave the tube so that you can find us okay. We have a Facebook group. We really try and connect people beforehand. I create lots of blog content to help you prepare for the event. I think actually it's probably quite underpriced. It's something I need to work on. However, we do get people who still come along and they say, it's too expensive. How can you justify the prices? So something that I did, which has been really, really helpful, and I'll link to this in the show notes, I created a blog post, which is called How Much Does It Cost to Host a Live Event or Conference? And basically, I set out in that how much it costs. So I put the actual figures of how much it cost me to hire the venue, how much it cost me for the catering, how much it costs for the printing. I'll share with you that my beautiful workbook that I had for Soulful PR Live and also for Your Year in PR this year, beautiful bound workbook. We even take the time to put pictures of all the delegates and their Twitter handles so that basically you can sit there, you can just look across the room and say, oh, that person looks good. I'd love to go and talk to them. We create this beautiful workbook. It's got resources in. It's got like handouts and printables and all sorts of things in this workbook. That alone cost £800 this time round to get that beautiful workbook. I think it's worth doing things like that. But in this blog post, I really kind of set it at how much it costs and all the hidden costs that you wouldn't think about when you're running an event. There's lots of things that you just come to an event and you just think, yeah, that was good. I always pay all my speakers as well. So I have speaker bills to pay as well. So I've created a blog post which sets it all out. So when somebody emails and says, this is too expensive, we just say, look, I don't know if you're aware, but there's actually quite big overheads involved in putting an event on. Here's a blog post that explains it. And generally, they usually book after they've read it, or we don't hear from them again, because I don't think that people can argue with that. And I think the thing is, it's is you need to look at it compassionately. Like, if you don't put on events, then why would you know that? You know, I know how expensive it is to put on an event. I know all the different costs that are involved because I've been doing it for 10 or 15 years. But I totally appreciate that if you see my event advertised and you don't run events yourself, or certainly you don't run big events, which involve hiring big venues that cater for 100 people plus, then you probably have no idea. And you probably just go and you have a great experience. And you don't even think about all the costs that are involved in making sure that you have a great day. So for me, it's about educating your customers. And it's a really, really useful type of content to have, because you can, somebody asks that question, you can literally just kind of send it straight out to them, and you're not typing the same response by email over and over again. So if somebody queries the price of your event, having, or any kind of product or service that you're offering, having some kind of blog post which explains your prices is really worthwhile, I think, and saves you time in the future. So my next tip is, if people are saying, I can't afford it, or I can't afford you, is show them how to raise the money. Now, this is something I learned from Chris Marr from the Content Marketing Academy. I saw that he runs an annual event, CMA Live, every year in Edinburgh. It's actually, I think his is more like £500 or something for a ticket. And obviously, for lots of people, they have to then pay for their hotel costs and travel costs to go up to Edinburgh. So, you know, it's not a cheap event. It's certainly an investment. But I noticed that he was creating some content on how to attend events on a budget. And I thought, that's an interesting idea. So I've created, and I've done this actually for all of my products and services, a specific blog post for my live events, which is what to do if you want to go to a live event and you don't have the budget. And in it, I give some practical advice, because I do think that when it comes to events or online courses, I think it can be easy just to sit there and say, I really want to do that, but I can't afford it. Now, I feel like I could probably just walk downstairs right now. I'm recording this in my little studio upstairs. And I think if I needed to raise some cash, I could probably walk into one of my cupboards downstairs and I could probably immediately find some things that I could put on eBay. I could probably go into my wardrobe and find some clothes that I could sell. I think, you know, I would, that's, you know, it's a little bit time consuming to do that kind of thing. But I think it's easy when we see something that we want or something we want to do just to say, I can't afford it, without actually thinking, okay, there's another question I can ask here. How could I make this affordable? Is there anything I could do to raise this money? So in this blog post, I share a number of ideas which range from finding stuff to sell on eBay. That's the last one. But, you know, starting with, in your business, could you put a pop-up event? So if you want to go to an event in Edinburgh, could you run your own workshop, which would fund your ticket and beyond? Could you have a look at what products and services you've got already? Do you have any online courses or webinars or cheat sheets or whatever that you could sell and put together as a package? I know that if I needed to raise some funds quickly, I have got so much content that I could probably put a package together. I could probably create a course in a weekend or something like that. And this is another great reason why having content and also having an email list is great. I know I could probably create a new course. I could email my list. I've got 15,000 people on my list, and I could make some sales. So have a look at what you've got already. Could you put together an extra coaching or consultancy package? Could you actually just reverse engineer the process and say, okay, I need to raise £500 to go to this event. How many more clients do I need? How many more products do I need to sell? How am I going to do that? And that's been really popular. I've actually had quite a few prospective clients and customers come back to me saying, thank you for creating that. It sparked an idea. I went off and did this, and I now have the money to come to your event. And I think that's a really powerful thing to do, because you're also turning the responsibility back to your customers or clients. It isn't your fault if they can't afford to come along. You know, you're not privy to their finances, what's going on in their life. And so please don't let anybody ever tell you that it is your fault. But what you can do is kind of just help them have that light bulb moment. And that's certainly been something that's worked very, very well for me. And I think the last thing is to say that you do need to accept that not everybody is your customer. However much you try to help, there are some people who would complain your prices are too high, they'll ask for discounts or freebies. And these kind of people, they generally don't value your work, they don't value you, and they don't make great customers. I find that my most challenging customers are often those right down at the bottom of the price end. So people who've bought a book or a diary. So my books are £12, my diary, my media diaries are £36, and often They can be the most demanding customers, the ones who pay thousands of pounds for coaching. They're delightful because they've invested and they take responsibility. They know that they want to get a great outcome, so they give it everything they can. But I find it often people can be most challenging at the bottom end when it comes to price point. And I think you do need to accept that some people are just like that. Obviously, you know, you need to give them good customer service and you need to treat them just as well as you treat your £5,000 clients or whatever it might be. But do accept that, you know, in some cases, I have recently, I'll share with you, had some people who've been very difficult, some people who've joined my membership and have been very unpleasant and then asked to leave, or people who've signed up for things and then decided it's not for them, or people who've bought a diary and then kind of sent a very unpleasant email about why they don't think it's any good for them. And I think in those situations, you almost have to graciously just kiss them goodbye. They're not right for you. You're not right for them, and it's probably better just to kind of let them go, give them their refund, give them whatever they need, and part company. So I hope that you've found that helpful. As you'll know, I'm doing something slightly different this year. I'm also creating a YouTube video to go with each episode. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. So if you just want to go through these points again very, very quickly, I'm managing to cover all of this ground in just a few minutes. And I'd really appreciate your support as well in terms of growing the YouTube channel. I've made a commitment this year to publish a new video on YouTube every single week and also make that into part of a blog post, because I'm very conscious that I do need to be creating video if I want to be marketing myself more effectively in the coming years. So it would be great if you could go over and subscribe to my channel and also have a look at that video, because it explains everything that I've just said now in a very short amount of time. And there'll also be a blog post to go with this as well. So I hope you found that useful, and I would love you to go over and subscribe to my new YouTube channel. So that's over at youtube.com/Janet Murray Soulful PR Community. So that's youtube.com/Janet Murray Soulful PR Community. I'd love to see you over there.